Well, I want you to open your Bibles tonight, if you would, over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're continuing along the lines of teaching on the gifts and the manifestations of the Spirit. For as many manifestations of evil there are out there, we must have a greater degree of the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. I thought I'd get a better amen from the royalty tonight. Come on, folks. There's an increase. The enemy's stepping up his plan. Well, God will never be outdone. As far as we're concerned, he'll not be outdone here in the Bay Area. Amen? I'm believing God for an increase. How about you? In 1 Corinthians chapter 12... of course, in verse 7 through 11, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. So the gifts of the Spirit are profitable, are they not? Yes. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith or the gift of faith by the same Spirit. Amen. To another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. Read verse 11 with me. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. So we talked last time I was with you on a Wednesday night about the gifts of the Spirit and how that God, in his infinite wisdom, has given us several ways whereby we can receive healing. Amen? Number one, simply by believing God's word for yourself. You know, he sent his word, and what did he do? He healed us and delivered us from our destructions. Another way that we can receive healing is we can speak to the mountain of sickness and disease that may be in our life. Amen? So we need to learn to talk to disease. Just like Jesus rebuked the fever for Peter's mother-in-law, he spoke words. I wonder, can fevers hear words? Fevers can hear words that are anointed by the Holy Spirit. Amen? Well, if Peter's mother-in-law could be healed by hearing faith-filled words, amen, arthritis can be healed. Is that right? Cancers can be healed. Simply by speaking to the mountain, commanding it to dry up from its roots, amen? That's just another way that you and I can receive our healing. You know, thank God we've got authority. We've got dominion. And one way that we release this dominion that he's given unto us is through faith-filled words. I heard a long time ago that faith-filled words dominate the laws of sin and death. So dominate means authority. So your words filled with faith, based on God's word, have a dominating force against the laws of sin and death. Yes. Amen. Amen. It is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that has made you and I free from the law of sin and death. Amen. Woo, glory to God. Is God still quickening his people today? Yes. Well, I know God did heal, but is he still healing people today?
Yes.
He absolutely is. Over there in Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, he says, I'm the Lord and I don't change. Hebrews 13:8 says of Jesus that he's the same. He's the same, what? Yesterday, today, and forever. In other words, he's the same right now when he was walking the earth, going about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Oh man, that's good news. So you have authority. Now, authority won't do you any good unless you utilize it. See, just like you have keys to your automobile and after the service, you know, you're going to go home, right? Some of you may be going to work. But in order for you to go from point A to point Z, you got to use the key. Well, to go where God wants us to go in Him, amen, which is all the way to victory, we've got to take these keys of the kingdom that He's given us, become familiar with them, and utilize them, and release them. Whatever we bind on earth is bound in heaven, and whatever we loose on earth is loosed in heaven. Amen. So sickness and disease is meant to be bound. We need to bind it. Amen. And then loose the healing power of God in our lives, in our family, and for those people that we come in contact with. So He's given us so many different ways to receive healing. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
You know, over there in Mark 11:24, which follows Mark 11:23, He said, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire." What things soever you desire. You could desire healing. He said, "What things soever you desire, when you pray, believe." Don't wait until you feel to believe. But when you pray, believe that you receive them, if you will, or believe that you take them, and you will what? And you will have them. See, we need to understand this, that we have faith on the inside of us, and you have the faith that is able to take all that God has provided for you. Ooh, glory to God. Say of me, I have the faith. I have the faith that takes. Now, another way we can be healed, and everybody can do this one. You know, Jesus said in Mark 16, He said, "Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth not shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. These signs shall follow them that believe." Or, "These signs shall follow the believing ones." And you are a believing one. I are a believing one. He says, "These signs shall follow them that believe in My name." In My name. In My name. They'll cast out devils. In My name. They shall speak with new tongues. In My name. They, believers, shall lay hands on the sick. And what will happen? Woo, glory to God. You furnish the hands. And Jehovah Rapha furnishes the healing. There's the manward side. And there's the Godward side. You are not the healer, but you are the one that is obedient to His command, and you simply lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover.
Yes.
And you know what else? You can lay hands on yourself.
Yep. Right.
Amen. Right. Just lay hands on your head. A headache comes along, just put your holy hands on your head in the name of Jesus, and command it to be healed, and command it to be whole.
Yes.
Amen. So we are not limited by the avenues by which we can be healed. Ooh, glory to God. There's many ways for His people to be healed, and there's many ways for His people to minister healing to others.
Yes.
Amen? Now, one way, but not the only way, that God heals people, not only people in the body of Christ, but how many of you know God just loves hurting people? He loves hurting people. You'll see in the ministry of Jesus that He went about and He was moved with what?
Compassion.
He was moved with compassion toward those that were sick, and He healed them all.
Yes.
And so this force of love, this force of compassion is what moved Jesus to heal. Hallelujah. And aren't you glad the same love that is in Jesus is in you?
Yes.
Why is that? Because the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost, which has been given unto us. Oh, thank You, Lord. And so the gifts of healings are not only for the body of Christ, but the gifts of healings are for hurting people. And that's part of our vision. Heal the hurting. There are people that are hurting. They're hurting in their hearts. They're hurting in their minds. They're hurting in their bodies. They're hurting in their emotions. Aren't you glad that you and I have the answer?
Yes.
And His name is Jesus.
Yes.
And Jesus wants to manifest Himself through His body big time in this final acts of the apostles.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
So say with me, I'm a candidate.
I am a vessel
through which the Holy Ghost can flow through. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, according to W. Vine's Dictionary of Biblical Words, the gift of healing is literally the gift of healings, plural. Here's what Dad Hagen said about the gifts of healings. Now, if you want to study a little bit more along the lines of the gifts of the Spirit, get that little book by Brother Haven, called Concerning Spiritual Gifts. Amen. Concerning Spiritual Gifts. You can get it on Amazon. You can get it from Kenneth Hagin Ministries. You know, we need to study these things. We do not want to be ignorant concerning things pertaining to and of the Holy Ghost. That's what he said in verse 1. He said, don't be ignorant of these things. Amen? So we can study then to show ourselves approved unto God, a believer, amen, that is not ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Yes,
so I want to encourage you, build up your library, especially books by Kenneth E. Hagin. Build up your library. Get yourself a library and be a student. Study the word of God. Even if you've read The Authority of the Believer 3 or 4 times, read it 3 or 4 more times. And if you've never read it, get busy and start reading. Even if you've read the book, The Name of Jesus, read it again and again and again. It'll feed your spirit. Not only will it feed your spirit, but it will nourish your soul. And it will fine-tune you and give you ability to stay focused so that you're on call and that you're ready whenever the Lord wants to use you in a big way. Amen?
Amen.
So everyone say, gifts. Gifts of healings. Now here's what he said. Why are they called gifts of healings? He said the Bible doesn't specifically say. However, it may be that there are gifts of healings because there are different kinds of diseases. And one gift wouldn't heal every kind of disease. We're talking about this supernatural gift. He said there are different diseases and one gift will heal one kind of disease, but the same gift won't heal every kind of disease. Now, it is true. If you've been around a while and you've followed ministries, you've followed prophets of God and men of God, you will find that different people and even different individuals in the body of Christ have different endowments, different anointings when it comes to the gifts of healings as the Spirit wills. For example, someone might have a great unction. You don't know how or where. You just know who it came from. Some person might have a great unction to pray for deaf people. I mean, it seems like any person that they lay hands on that is deaf, praise God, they get their hearing back. And then there's other people, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, Ricky Edwards, for example, Pastor Ricky, Brenda's brother, I believe that he has an endowment, a gift, a manifestation of the Spirit to pray for backs. And a lot of times, while he's ministering, he'll see an angel. Thank God for angels. You know, we don't have to see angels to know they're here. The angels of the Lord are all around us. They're encamping around us tonight. And they're hearkening to the voice of His Word. But that's a supernatural endowment given by God, the discerning of spirits, seeing into the spirit realm, to see an angel. And a lot of times what happens with Ricky, an angel will come by, say, for example, Steve there, an angel come by to stand next to him, and the angel is there to do what? To help, praise the Lord, and bring assistance for the healing of the body. Angels aren't the healers, but they can assist. Angels can bring body parts from heaven.
Amen.
Angels can bring hearts. Angels can bring livers. Angels can bring lungs. Amen. Woo, glory to God. And so how God uses him sometimes is in the area of backs. He's seen some wonderful things, some marvelous things. That's a gift of the Spirit. Thank God for it. Amen. Another person may have the manifestation of the Spirit. It just seems like whoever they pray for cancer gets healed. Thank God, we're to covet these things. And we're to rejoice about it when they start occurring in our midst. Somebody says, well, I wish God would use me like that. It don't come by wishing. It comes by being available. It comes by being humble and say, Lord, here I am, use me. But if you're not going to use me, use somebody else. Amen. Got a little quiet there. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
So just as this gift was manifested in the ministry of Jesus and in the early church, so should it be manifested through those whom the Spirit chooses to use. And I already alluded to this earlier, but I want to say it again very strongly. God wants there to be an increase of manifestations, an increase of demonstrations of the Holy Spirit in the midst of us. And the Bible tells us one way or a few ways how this can occur and how this can happen. One way, we've already talked about it, we need to get the knowledge of the Word. We need to be a student of God's Word. Amen? It's important to study. Why is that? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You want to get real inspired? Read the life stories of people like John G. Lake. Read the life stories of people like Smith Wigglesworth. Outstanding things happened in their lives and through their ministries. Wonderful things. Glory to God. So we need the knowledge. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. But also, we need to be in faith. We need to be in faith that God, in fact, will manifest Himself in our midst. Amen. And we need to get beyond this thinking of impossibilities. Because in God, there is nothing impossible. Matter of fact, He says, with God, all things are possible. Well, you look at Mark 9:23, it says, if you can believe. If you can believe. How many of you can believe? How many of you will believe? How many of you do believe? He said, if thou canst believe, all things. I like that, don't you? All things are possible to him that believeth. There is power in faith. We talked a little bit about it on Sunday morning when we were looking at the subject of keys to being kept and keys to being sustained. And we found out in 1 Peter 1:5 that we are kept by the power of God. Amen? Is the power of God able to help, able to uphold you? I mean, if he's upholding all things by the word of his power, he's sure enough going to uphold you. I mean, if he's upholding all things by the word of his power, he's more than enough to see to it that your rent is paid. And that your PG&E bill is paid. Amen?
Amen.
Woo, glory to God. So we must have then faith in the power of God. Paul dealt with that. He said, you know, my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. My preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but my preaching, now notice this, was in demonstration. In demonstration. There was a demonstration as the Apostle Paul preached. And as you preach, you can expect me to demonstrate through your word. For my word is anointed. So open yourself unto me and open your mouth and let my spirit flow through you, says the Lord. Amen. My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but it was in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And then he goes on to say, I believe it's verse 5, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men. That your faith should not stand in the tenets of your denomination. That your faith should not stand in what someone has said. Not in the wisdom of men. But let your faith stand, woo-hoo, glory to God, in the power of God. Someone say, I have faith in the very power of God. And all things are possible because I am a believer. So how can we see this increase? As we started out tonight, such an increase of vile things. Such an increase of you don't even want to speak of it. Such an increase of that. Such a natural boldness in your face. If the devil can be that bold, how about us? How much more should we be bold? to stand upon our covenant with a covenant-keeping God and shout it from the housetops that our God is alive and He is Lord. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Faith in the power of God. And I'm telling you, when a community of believers, just like this tonight, maybe 50, 60 people here, a community of believers right now in this place, one can put 1,000 to flight, folks. But two can put 10,000. Folks, we can change the atmosphere in the Bay Area. We can change the atmosphere in the state of California. We are change agents. Like Creflo Dollar says, we are world changers. Amen? Faith. Faith and expectancy in the power of God. Let there be a stirring in our spirits, Lord. Just pray in the Holy Ghost a minute. Oh, Rapashia. A stirring in the realm of the Spirit, Lord. Oh, my. Ooh, glory to God. I think of Jesus at the tomb of Lazarus. They were questioning Him. Why did it take you so long to get here? You know, and what in the world was going on? Well, thank God, He called Lazarus forth. And one of the things that He said to them was this, said I not unto you? Said I not unto you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God. I believe Jesus is saying the same thing to us tonight here at Heart of the Bay. Didn't I say to you? That if you'll have faith in me, and if you'll have confidence in the power of God, and you will and you bring your expectation up to a higher level, you will see the glory of God. Hallelujah. And when I got this, and when I was looking at this a little bit earlier today, believe and see. Believe and see. Put your hand over your heart and say, believe
and see.
So what this is saying, we must have faith for the glory. Faith for the manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit. And the thing that the Lord dropped in my heart is, these are glory gifts. These are gifts of glory that He desires so, so fervently to pour out in this day, in this hour. How can we see an increase? Well, by faith. How can we see an increase? I tell you, number two, by praying fervently. By praying fervently. Fervent prayers. I believe it's over in James chapter 5, at the tail end of that verse. In James 5:16, notice with me at the tail end, it says, the earnest. James 5:16. The earnest. Heartfelt. Continued prayer. Notice with me, it's heartfelt. We talked a little bit about being wholeheartedly devoted Sunday morning. Wholeheartedly committed. Because when we are wholeheartedly committed to Him, He's able to keep that which He has committed. That which we have committed unto Him. Notice with me, the earnest, wholehearted, continued prayer of a righteous man. Are you righteous? Are you right in God's sight? He says this, the continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available. Come on, somebody. Dynamic in its working. I want to encourage you ladies, if you have the time, take some time to come to the 12 noon prayer every Thursday, starting tomorrow again. We're going to be notching up and bringing up the area of prayer in this church in these next few minutes. It's an election year. And we should not just be standing idly by with a que sera, sera attitude of whatever will be, will be. We are change agents. And if there's one thing that the devil would want to do is to cause a disruption in the election process. And we need to stand against that. Amen? Well, anyway, the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. makes tremendous power available. And what I got in my spirit as I was looking at this is that prayer activates the power gifts. Prayer activates the power gifts. And it's good to pray individually, because I know many of you do. And if you're not, start. But it's also good to pray unitedly. Because there's a lot of threats out there. You know, the assassination attempt on President Donald Trump was unsuccessful. But Iran has got a contract out on him. So we need to be praying not only for protection for him, but we need to be praying for protection for all of our leaders. Are you listening to me? So prayer will activate the power of God. Prayer will activate the protection of God. Amen? But it's vital to do this in unison. It's vital for us to do this unitedly. Amen? Now notice what they did over in Acts chapter 4, if you would. Look over there with me. Are you getting anything yet? Acts chapter 4, verse 29. And notice with me right on verse 31. He said now, "And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness we may speak your word." How many of you know the righteous are bold as a lion? Yes, yes, yes. "That with all boldness we may speak your word, and stretch forth your hand, dear Lord, to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Lord Jesus." Notice what happened. Notice the response. Read it with me. Next verse. "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God." How? Notice this came through the vehicle of united prayer. The place would not have been shaken if they hadn't prayed. God wants to do some shaking up. He wants to shake up some buildings. He wants to shake up some lives. Amen? And we're going to pray. Amen? So pray. Get in faith and pray. Do what Zechariah says. Ask of the Lord for rain. Ask for the Lord for rain in the time of the latter rain. And what will happen? The Lord will make bright clouds and give us showers of rain to everyone, grass in the field. So, that's just a couple of ways that we can see an increase of the gifts of the Spirit. Anybody open to that? The gifts of healings, then, are manifested for the supernatural healing of sickness and disease without any natural source or means. Again, I'm going to quote something from Dad Hagen's book. Very interesting what he said. In the heading of one chapter, it says this: gifts of healings are not medical science. See, that's what the world would want to reduce the gifts of healings to. Well, it's medical science. You know, Jesus used to heal, but now doctors are the answer. I'm glad doctors are not the answer. I have nothing against doctors. But notice what Dad Hagen said. He said, "First, I want to emphasize the supernatural character of the gifts of healings. The gifts of healings have nothing to do with medical science or human learning." He said, "Certainly, I do believe in medical science." Thank God for medical science. If it hadn't been for medical science, a lot of Christians wouldn't be here today. Amen? So, certainly, I do believe in medical science, and I thank God for what it can do. I'm certainly not opposed to doctors, but some people confuse medical science with the gifts of healings. And then he goes on to say, "Doctors and medical science are natural means of healing. The gifts of healings and other methods of divine healing are supernatural."
That's right.
You laying hands on the sick and them recovering, that's supernatural, man. And then he goes on to say, "I would not speak disparagingly about doctors or hospitals and medical science because they do much good for humanity. But the healing, these gifts of healing, is supernatural. It doesn't come by diagnosis or prescribing treatment. So what then is the gifts of healings? It's a supernatural manifestation of the Holy Spirit delivering the sick and destroying the works of the devil in the human body. Healing is the renewal of the body from a diseased condition. Amen. Now, we need to be mindful of this. And we've got about 10 minutes left, so relax. We need to be mindful of this. Before Jesus was anointed by the Holy Spirit, there were no manifestations of the power of God operating in his ministry. He did not start miracles and going about doing good and healing all that are oppressed of the devil until after that dove came out of heaven and anointed him and said, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." And then Jesus was led by the Spirit to go into the wilderness, and he was tempted by the devil for 40 days. And the devil came at him about 4 or 5 different ways. And every time Jesus whipped him with the word. You know, if Jesus whipped him with the word, you can whip him with the word. Because you've got the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So Jesus whipped him with the word of God. And the devil left him, the Bible says, for a season. And then the scripture says he returned in the power of the Spirit. And he went into his hometown. And he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath. And he opened up the book, the scroll of Isaiah. And he found the place where it was written. And he said this of himself in Luke 4:18. If we have it up there, let's put it up there. Let's read it together. Read it with me. Ready? Read. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach to the deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty." Now keep that up there just a moment. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." And because the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, he has anointed me. When the Spirit of the Lord is upon you, there's an anointing on you. Oh, hallelujah. You are anointed. And you know what happens when the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jesus? Yokes were destroyed. And burdens were removed. Why is that? Because Isaiah 10:27 says this, "The anointing destroys the yoke." Isn't that good? Thank God for the burden removing, yoke destroying anointing upon the Master. And thank God for the anointing upon your life. Amen. So it was only after he was anointed that he went about doing good. Jesus didn't do this independently from his Father. He said, "The Father that dwelleth in me, he does the works." Amen. So how did he do these works? He did them by the power of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus operated on earth as one anointed by the Spirit, not as the Son of God. Are you getting that? Although Jesus has always been the Son of God, he never healed anyone until after he was anointed with the Holy Ghost and power. Ooh, hallelujah. And because he was anointed, these manifestations flowed through him freely. He had the Spirit without measure. You know, you could think of several instances, and we won't take time to do it tonight, but let me just read you a few. If you want to write down these references, notice these manifestations operating through them. In Matthew 4:23-24, Jesus healed all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. All of them. Matthew 8:16 says, "He healed some that were sick?" No, he healed all that were sick. Matthew 9:35 says, he healed every sickness and every disease among the people. Amen? Yeah. Matthew 10:1 says, he healed all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Somebody shout glory. Matthew 14:14 and 36 says, he healed their sick, and as many as touched the hem of his garment were made perfectly whole. Woo, glory to God. Well, he's the same. He's the same yesterday. He's the same today. He's the same forever. He was anointed by the Holy Spirit, and you are anointed by the same Spirit. What does that mean? What does that mean? Now then, it means this. We are now equipped, anointed, and commissioned to go do the same works that Jesus did. John 14, I believe it's verse 12. If you can pull it up, fine. If not, that's fine. John 14, 12 says, he that believeth on me. Amen? Do you believe on him?
Yes.
He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. But not just the works, the greater works. The greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. Amen?
Amen?
So I've written this in my notes in closing. Whether it be by the gifts of the Spirit, or by thy laying on of hands, or teaching, or preaching, or encouraging people the word, just be an available vessel for him to flow through. Let's all stand to our feet. Amen. Glory to God.